And my next guest is joining me, the lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. And good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Velma. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Thank you. And thank you for coming on the program this afternoon.
Always fun.
Good on you. I always appreciate it, and you know that. Now, I was going to ask you, tell us a little bit how the auction clearance rates are going, and what's the latest in that?
The auction clearance rates this week were 47%, and that's against 784 reported auctions.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about that compared to last year, we were at 70% clearance rate. You can really see the difference.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, I was going to also, I wanted to ask you the market updates for 2026. Now, no one has a crystal ball, of course, but we are in the midwinter, and when things get a bit slow, how are things looking at the moment? Because, you know, people get a bit, I can't be bothered. It's winter time now and it starts to slow down. So what's the reaction out there?
And we're in school holidays right now as well.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Well, Melbourne is down 2.6% for the quarter. So for the last month, we're down 1%. That was against being down 0.8% in June. So things definitely are softening in relation to the market and prices. And that's going to be being attributed to a number of factors. So affordability and higher cost of living right now, people are very much feeling stretched in relation to even being able to put food on the table. The higher interest rates have not helped that at all, and there is very much the sentiment out there seems to have shifted and changed, and that can probably be attributed in part to the tax changes that were announced in the federal budget in relation to capital gains tax and negative gearing and so forth. But we've also got an elevated level of stock coming onto the market. So there's a number of factors right now that are causing a little bit of pessimism in the market, and things are just not as buoyant as they have been previously.
Now, tell us about the AML and what it stands for, the abbreviation of that, and the CTF. So give us, first tell us the AML.
All right. So as of the 1st of July, so a few days ago, the Australia's Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorism Financing, which is the AML/CTF, bit of a mouthful, the regime for that significantly changed in relation to which businesses that were previously not having to report need now to comply with AUSTRAC requirements. So they have widened the net there. So there's a requirement now for accountants, lawyers, conveyancers, real estate agents and buyer's advocates to now meet newly regulated requirements under that reform. So what does that mean? A lot of mouthfuls, things like that. So what it means? It means that, particularly we're talking about real estate agents, that both the buyer and the seller now, as customers of a real estate agent or a buyer's advocate, now have to be have compliance checks done on them. So the compliance checks must be run by all parties of the transaction, so the conveyancers and lawyers as well as the real estate agent and buyer's advocates. They need to do these changes, do these compliance checks. So everybody's had to register with AUSTRAC, and now we have to do verification of identity. So we must collect and verify by a photographic ID, that's either a driver's license or a passport, from the buyers and the sellers before providing the services. And we've got to look beyond the immediate identity as well. So if anyone's buying in a trust or a company ownership, you've got to look at who are the directors and beneficiaries of that and identify them as well. And we have to screen clients against politically exposed persons and international sanction lists. And for high-risk clients, we've got to actively request proof of where their customer funds and overall wealth was originated, so check the source of funds. And we have to maintain compliance programs and report and keep records and report everything back to AUSTRAC. So it's a massive change.
Massive change. So how is that going to affect that network of people that we've just mentioned?
Well,
or companies?
Well, it's going to affect all of the companies. So everybody has had to do appoint a compliance officer and do training and make sure that they're getting everything correct and reporting everything in. There's a massive overhead now, and the cost to do all of this is going to be and has been legislated that it can be passed on to the buyers and sellers of the real estate. And that can be up to $100 per instance. And every single person in the chain has to do this BOI, or the verification of the identity, and they can charge it each time. So, number one, it's going to increase the cost because that's passed on to the consumer, being the buyer or the seller of the real estate. And it's also then the overhead for a lot of businesses, in a lot of cases small businesses, needing to make sure that they are accurately tracking, recording, checking and reporting in to AUSTRAC. So I think one of the things I wanted to mention today about it is that if you're out there and you're possibly thinking of buying or selling, understand that each of these parties, the accountant, lawyer, conveyance, the real estate agent, buyer's advocate, all now have to do this by law. We have to ask for this information by law. So there's massive fines for non-compliance.
Phew. Okay. Now, there's always issues, and thank you for sharing that, Wendy. I appreciate it. Now, the Victorian rentals bond changes. Now, there's always something happening when it comes to rentals. So tell us about this new change.
I'm laughing, Vilma, because we literally spoke on the radio last week and already there's more things to talk about.
Oh, dear, dear. Doesn't stop, does it?
It does not. So the Portable Rental Bond Scheme, that has been implemented and rolled out by the Victorian government. And what that does is eliminate the need to pay a double bond. I've got little rabbit ears, double bond, when moving. And so the government will cover any interim bond liabilities for the first property. But what it means is eligible renters can now transfer their bond money directly through the Rental Tenancies Bond Authority, the RTBA. Instead of paying an upfront and waiting for their previous refund, they can then just do this portable and move it across. There's a transfer fee of $35 to $40, and it means that the renter is not having to pay again for their bond. They can transfer the existing one across. Rental providers are now, and landlords, are also required to notify renters in advance of claiming a bond and must provide documentary evidence to support their claim. And there must be, here's another change, all bond transactions now must be handled digitally. There's no more paper forms, checks, money orders. It's all online. It's all on digital, so they can track everything. There you go.
My God. Also, too, the federal government came out with more information in June about the changes to the self-managed super fund. Tell us about that.
This one is a doozy, Vilma, because even if you don't intend to invest in a super fund or invest in real estate at all, the knock-on effects from the changes, and this is what I talk about often, is that there's lots of little pieces of popcorn being put into the bucket. And so basically, the federal government agreed to an amendment. They got in bed with the Greens, and to get the legislation through, they agreed to ban that self-managed super funds can now use borrowings or loans from banks to acquire a residential property in a self-managed super fund. So that was secured to pass border changes, tax changes in the Senate with, like I said, between Labor and the Greens. So what's changing is that you're no longer allowed to obtain a new loan to purchase a residential investment property. So this is residential only. So if you have the cash in your super fund, by all means, you can go pay cash and buy a piece of real estate, residential real estate in there. No problems at all. But anybody that was using, like I said, any funds from a bank, that now is banned as of, I think, it was 45 days when they brought it in. So it's probably about, I don't know, 30-odd days now that you can do it. Doesn't apply to commercial, so it is only to residential real estate. But here's the thing. Here's a question for you. So let's say somebody went ahead and bought some, based on the rules of super fund at the day, like let's say 2 months ago, somebody decided that they wanted to buy a property in their super fund. It's a residential property. They bought something off the plan, as an example. They paid $1 million for it off the plan, so that's 10%. That's $100,000. So as we know, off the plan purchases can take 12 months plus to be built and settled. So this person in their super fund has used $100,000 of super funds. They put down their deposit. Now the laws have changed. So now in a year's time, when they need to settle that purchase, there literally will not be a bank that can do it because the banks cannot do it. It's been legislated they can't. Does that person now lose their $100,000 out of their super fund?
Ooh.
It's Do you think the government has thought this through? How would you feel if that was you? Because you based your decision-making on the laws at the time and then they just randomly go and change them, move the goalposts all the time. This is what is a problem with Superfund changes because, and I think we've talked about this before, Vilma, Superfund is for retirement. So people make decisions on a long-term basis. Now, the older you get, the less runway you have. So if you've made a decision of how you might be investing in your Superfund, and then they go and change the goalposts, you've run out of runway to correct, to course correct.
That makes a lot of sense.
I don't think any of this fiddling and diddling in super funds should be allowed.
Well, you did say, and when we spoke last time, that if you're wanting to purchase a home, you have to have the full amount.
Correct.
There's no having to take out a loan. That's not going to happen. So if you wanted to use that as a super fund, you need to purchase the property with all the monies or whatever that property price is. I don't know. It's a very big change, and you know, having that sort of proposing self managed fund, you often think, you know, is it worth it?
Well, and this is the question, and I honestly don't think things like this get thought entirely through, because yes, we need more housing. The government clearly have shown they don't either can't or won't, or I don't even know. Have the ability to create the housing that we need, be that social or public housing or low economic housing, whatever you want to call it. They obviously aren't doing that. So mum and dad investors, who are 71% of the people that invest in real estate, in investment in real estate, are mum and dad investors. They're not your squillionaires. They're just everyday mums and dads who buy a property hoping to do better for themselves, for their families, for their, you know, for the future generations and so forth. So these rugs get pulled out from underneath them all the time. So they're saying that, well, builders need to build more houses. Well, many, many builders and developers build apartment blocks and things which are purchased via super funds from people. And here's the other thing. In order to get a building out of the ground, there needs to be, the bank wants to see from a developer, percentage of sales have taken place, so they actually will fund the build. Now, if a lot of their builds were from people buying in their super funds, and now that's been removed, because most people will not have enough funds in their super fund to buy something outright, residential property outright, that's going to directly impact the ability for developers and builders to actually even build more houses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to make it tough.
They're not going to get funding
for them. Yeah, it's going to make it tough. Well, let's see what pans out. We've got another 6 months of now seeing what's going to happen in the marketplace. So that's going to be very interesting. But also, too, there's changes for property sellers. Now, what has been proposed by the Victorian government in this situation as well?
Yes, so they have proposed to heavily reform the Sale of Land Act, which is 1962. In particular, they're reviewing and looking at the Section 27, which is the early release of the deposit. Now, some of the changes that they're looking at there is that you can't, right now under Section 27, under most circumstances, there are limited circumstances when you can't, but the deposit that's been paid into the trust account of the real estate agent can get released at around about the 28-day mark. Now, sellers who are then looking to buy something else, because a lot of sellers obviously need to move into another home and most are looking to buy something else, use that money, their deposit money, which is usually 10%, to put that on a deposit for their next property. So you're removing that ability other than they're wanting it now to be put into a special condition of the contract. So they're wanting to change it so it has to be agreed by the party. So that's just making it far more complicated. The other aspect of things is they're wanting to ban that real estate agents and marketing can be paid out of those funds, which is something that's been happening in the industry, and it helps everybody. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that looking at making it mandatory that you must have 14 days to review a Section 32 contract. So I can't tell you how many times a contract doesn't come in on time. So we've had situations where we're going to auction on Saturday next week, and you don't get the contract until a week before because there's a number of moving parts to put a contract together. People just have to provide certificates and not everything is done in a timely manner all the time. What it's going to mean, if they make it mandatory that you must have, as a buyer, must have 14 days to review, it means auctions are going to have to get moved. Because if it's not, you haven't got the 14 days before an auction date, then that auction's going to move. So it's going to directly impact sellers, it's going to directly impact buyers. It's just going to have an ongoing knock-on effect across the entire industry.
It's just a bit too much, bit of out of control. Well, I think, you know, this is probably a very good time now because you've got a self-paced learning a course for everyone who was looking to buy a home. And so, you know, it is important that you have a good idea. And also today, for our listeners, you've got the free e-book that you can get on the web, and it's called chamberlainadvocates.com.au/northwestfm. And please take the advantage and get that free e-book. It is on the website, which I've just given you now, and it's chamberlainadvocates.com.au/northwestfm. Now, home buying secrets course, just very quickly, just give us an idea of how that how the course is and how long does it run for? Because I think it's always a good idea for people to actually sort of have a more clear understanding and when purchasing a home and all the little nigs-nags that you need to know. But apart from that, it's always good to educate yourself first before you throw yourself into the fire, and especially if you're thinking you're wanting to do it as an investment. I think it's always best to do your homework, and I've always said that all along. For anything that you're out on a mission for, always do your homework, do your research, get an understanding. So when you are talking to people, you have a very clear vision and understand what they're talking about. So tell us a little bit about the Home Buying Secret course.
Yes, Vilma. It's a step-by-step self-paced learning. So there's a lot of videos, transcripts, audios, cheat sheets. You basically follow the bouncing ball. So it takes as long as you want to take. You work through the materials at your own pace. And it will give you the confidence to buy a property. So anything from bidding at auction to putting offers together, how to speak to real estate agents, how to get yourself sorted, how to be an area expert, how to work out prices of homes, everything like that is being put into. I've taken my 30 years of experience in real estate and I put it all into this course for home buying. And it's there for you. If you want to look at that and work along at your own pace and you'll get the confidence to be able to buy a home.
Excellent. And that's how it actually works, which I think is a very good thing to do. But buyer's advocates and seller's advocates, they seem to be growing a lot more popular now, and I can understand why. So just give us a touch on that.
Well, from a selling side, as a seller's advocate or a vendor advocate, clients work with us when they need help choosing the right agent to sell their property, and we work with them through the entire process to protect their interests, make sure that the agent is doing the right job and is doing the right thing by the client, so there's no shenanigans go on, which we do see a lot in the real estate industry. So anyone looking to sell who's not confident, hasn't done it for a while, come and talk to us about helping you into holding your hand. And on the buyer side of things, we're the independent voice. People need to remember that the agent is working for the seller, they're not working for the buyer, so we're there as your independent, impartial, trusted person who looks after your interests, be it to negotiate to buy a property or bid at auction for you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well over 30 years of experience, of course, and Wendy is also an international best-selling author, podcaster, speaker, and also a licensed estate agent, but has appeared on many of the network television programs and also giving a lot of information to those sectors as well. So it's just amazing. Well, I hope you have a very good weekend. You're doing some auctions or what's your story for this weekend?
Yeah, we've got an auction tomorrow for a property for a client in Clifton Hill.
Oh, so, lovely. That's a nice area, isn't it?
Very nice, very tightly held, yeah.
Yes.
Not a lot comes up for sale in there.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
All right. Well, Wendy, thank you for your time this afternoon. Always appreciated. And you stay warm, and I know that we'll be chatting again very soon. And thanks for shedding a bit of light on the what end of the financial year on property.
It's always fun. There's always something to chat about, Vilma. Happy
yes,
to help.
You're not wrong. Thank you. Have a great one, and thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye for now.